Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Kenny Hodge Postal Podcast.
Hey.
Good evening, podcast audience, and welcome to Tuesday Night Sick Call. I have co-hosting with me tonight is Tom Giampa out of Federal Injury Centers. And we have a guest on tonight, Antoinette Green, out of Columbus, Ohio. How you doing, Antoinette?
All right. How are you, Kenny?
I'm great. Hey, listen, on most of the shows, what you'll hear, you hear me do is explain to you about different CA forms. We tell you how to fill these forms out, how they should be submitted. But on tonight's show, what we're going to do is we're going to talk to an actual postal employee who was injured at work, and some of the trials and tribulations, let's say, that she has had to go through and is still going through. So let's introduce Antoinette tonight. How are you doing this evening, sis?
I'm hanging in there, Kenny.
Okay. Hey, listen. Could you share a little bit? Could you share with my audience a little bit about what happened to you at work? Your accident that you had.
I was in my work area and I was hit from the back. My coworker, his brakes went out. He didn't blow, so that's why I didn't get the signal. So all I know is I was talking and then I was tossed. Other people actually witnessed what happened, and
when you say you were hit from the back, what do you mean hit from the back?
I was hit by equipment. His brakes went out.
Oh, he was driving a tow motor, a jack tractor.
Yes, a jack tractor with a ergo on the back, filled with magazines coming around the axle.
Okay. So you were at work. And someone was driving and hit you in the back. So you sustained an at-work injury. And from that point, talk to me about some of the things that you went through as far as rehabilitation and OWCP.
Really crazy because I didn't know anything about, like, workers' comp paperwork, what to fill out, what forms to have. It was very confusing. I didn't have a lot of help, so it was hard for me, like, the first year. Like, so I suffered a lot of lost money and everything because everybody doesn't inform you on it or either they're too busy. So it was crazy. I was just learning. I took a lot of initiative and talked to a lot of people in there and kind of learned through them. So it was all bad.
And I hear what you're saying, but, you know, Tom, you can even chime in on this. It's management's responsibility to inform employees what rights they have and what steps they should be taking if they're injured at work. You know, so when I hear you saying no one was telling you anything, you know, it's sad to say, but I understand if unions are not very well versed in injury compensation, because in most cases they don't touch that because of the liability involved in it. But I am not understanding in the slightest form how management don't know this and how management is not held accountable for their responsibility as far as telling you this.
Yeah,
that's part of their job description.
It is.
They're required. Yeah, they're required to know. Not learn. They're required to know on day one how to help you file workers' comp claims and the documents that go along with it. That's part of their job, and they're not being trained anymore. It's crazy. You go to them and say, "Hey, when did you learn how to fill out a CA-1?" "Oh, I didn't. I just learned on the go." Training programs are being cut back like that. It's not good.
Well, no, it's not. So, Internet, how long? How long, Antoine, how long has it been since this injury occurred?
It was like almost 4 years now. And then what it is the first year I got a doctor, but the doctor wasn't that good. Then we went into COVID, so I was delayed treatment because of COVID. And then once I got on board, I just missed a lot of days and had a lot of doctor visits. So once I got on board, you know, I was like a year and a half into it. So now I got a good doctor, great doctor, which did all the work that needed to be done for us, the MRIs, EMGs, to actually find out what was going on with me and why was I suffering like that. That's really been helpful for me right there. But it took a lot of talking to people, and it just took a lot. And I got no help from management, because really management up there is pretty busy on getting that mail out.
Well, you know, again, I understand that getting that mail out is their mission statement. That's the base. I mean, that's what we do. But part of getting that mail out means you have to take care of your employees, injured or not. More particularly, those who become injured at work. See, that's part of getting the mail out that they don't want to hold their heads up and accept. But when you're injured at work, folks, again, it's, you know, now with mass media, with places like Federal Injury Centers, the Wednesday night OWCP chat, with mass media being what it is, this information is being spread on a more vast landscape. So not knowing now is kind of unacceptable. If you don't know, you have to know somebody who knows or can guide you to one of these outlets that's going to give you good information. And you would not have had to go through what this young lady is going through. So let me ask you, are you back to working 40 hours a week now? Are you back to full time?
I returned to work, and shortly after, they start messing with me. So I was just taken from tour 2 to tour 1 to keep my job. I've been working tour 2 because they hit me on tour 2. So in the book, it says they have to accommodate me. So they said they had no mail, so they throw me into a night tour within 2 days, make forcing me to work 11 to 4, which is not even 8 hours, or that's it. So they're kind of doing me dirty now. So I'm just going to just see my rights as I go, see what I can do about that, because it's going to be hard for me to stay up.
let me just kind of summarize what I just heard. Here you have an employee who was injured at work. Again, going through the process. Let's skip that whole going through the process and come right to today. Injured at work. Management now is going to move her from her tour to another tour because they're saying they don't have work. When you have able bodies who don't have a bid over there working all day. But the point here is this is how management treats an injured employee who was injured at work. I mean, this is kind of unexcusable, and I'm willing to bet you that this is far from isolated. See, all my years in the post office, I've always understood that if an employee is injured at work, then management got to kind of bend over backwards just a little bit to make sure they accommodate and they keep that employee at work. Now, apparently,
Amy, can I tell you how pervasive the problem is?
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I've literally personally gone through thousands of cases myself. Okay, reading cases. All right. Of all those patients that I've talked to, I've only talked to one whose supervisor and management was able to help them appropriately to get their case filed. And this is the second part that you were just talking about. There was no retribution afterwards. We have always heard, historically, the overwhelming majority of people that come through have had something negative happen to them after they were injured, almost like a physical injury and then a work injury. It's tough, and I don't think people realize that, and that really has to change.
You're right.
Yeah. That's Excellent point. Excellent point.
Yeah.
So right now, management is moving you from tour two. They gave you a 2-day notice, and now they're going to have you work on tour one less than 8 hours a day.
Yep, that's correct.
Now, I got to ask, and again, Tom, jump right in. On your CA-17, is your doctor saying that that's all you can work?
No, he said he wasn't saying that. He uses the same CA because I have a lifetime condition, so it pretty much stay the same. And that's what I've been working off 8 hours on. Now it's just subject to change.
Now, how does that happen, Tom? If I've got a lifetime, I'm sorry?
Somebody got involved. I had an incident, and they got involved, and I guess that's how they read it.
So, Tom, if I've got a CA-17 that says these injuries are permanent, okay, so
yes,
right away, there's no need for an update every 30 days because permanent, it means permanent. It's not changing. So I've been working all this time in this position because I have a bid.
Yep.
So I got bid hours and bid days off. Now, all of a sudden, with the same documentation that you've always had, now you're going to change me to a different tour and reduce my hours. How does that happen?
And change my days off. He just took me off the clock Monday. He said, I can't get 8 hours. I drove up there on breakfast. He said, you're not working today. I said, I clocked in. He said, you're off the next two. And he said, you're off till Wednesday. You come in at 11. He said, you're not working today. I said, I don't get paid for today. He said, no. I said, no, I don't get paid. They never gave me a warning not to come in, nothing. And the,
so you can answer that.
What?
For the hours, for the additional hours that you've missed, you should be able to file a CA-7 and get those hours. So if you normally work an 8-hour day, and they're sending you to work for 6 hours, you can fill out a CA-7 and claim those other 2 hours and get those straight from OWCP.
Okay, at least 6 hours. I need them at least. I mean, I did come to work.
So
no, we're talking about for every day now. So like every day now, they've given you this new assignment until hopefully the right person hears this podcast and makes a phone call to Columbus and tell them to stop that foolishness. Until that happens, if they're only allowing you to work 4 hours a day, then you work those four and you complete a CA-7 and you'll get paid for the other four. But it's not, you don't get paid at 100% though, right, Tom?
I know. I get 66% pay.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's tax-free.
Right.
Okay.
Got it.
Yeah.
And that's fine. They just changed my days off, too. I didn't know they was allowed to change your days off. I always heard them slipping up and changing my days off.
Well, we're gonna dig real deep into that, not on this show. But trust me, the platform is going to present itself in the next 72 hours. That we'll finish on that issue. All right? But I just
want to
know right now that you know, so while you're working, and again, I think it's wrong that they're changing your hours just to the fact that here's an employee who was injured at work. And instead of doing what the post office educates, when I say educates, puts it in a manual. I mean, you know, this manual is probably not read by postal management, but it's in a manual about how postal management should go through the rehabilitation process in order to bring an employee back to 100%. But for whatever reason, and I can only speak about where I work and what I see, Columbus, Ohio, they've definitely not read the manual. Definitely not read the manual. It should be, you know, they should be presenting an environment for that injured employee that makes you want to come to work, that makes you want to, you know, give that intestinal fortitude to, you know, rush yourself back to full duty. But instead they do the exact opposite. And especially in your case, if you got hit from behind by a piece of equipment, I'm pretty sure everybody in the world knows it wasn't your fault, and this is how they treat you for that. Like you jumped in front of a piece of equipment.
Exactly.
This is literally an add insult to injury scenario. This is exactly what that is. They're adding insult to your injury. That's how you get treated afterwards.
But
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I okay. And I like how you said that earlier, Tom. Most people who have an injury at work usually have one after it because of the mental things they go through dealing with postal management.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, hey, Antoinette, I appreciate you stopping by the podcast tonight. I hope what you shared as a result of what you're going through and what you've been through, I hope we were able to get that information out to somebody who it's going to help them not have to go through it.
Exactly.
And one last thing I want to say to the podcast audience. If you check in the Elm, there is a matrix. And when I say Elm, the Employee Labor Relations Manual, there's a matrix that show postal management how they are to place injured employees. And the first two or three lines on that matrix, you'll see they don't request that they move them. You know, there's boxes you have to check that helps you arrive at the best schedule for that person. But it's important that you don't move them, because you take a person from tour two, which is days. Now you force that injured employee to go to tour one, just like it was said earlier in the podcast. Now you're going to add another injury, because now I've got to get a new sleep pattern. My whole life has got to change. And I do mean my whole life has got to change. If I'm used to being off work at 2:30, now I got to go to work 11 o'clock at night. So that's going to be a big change. That change is not helping me motivate myself to get back to 100%. Does that make sense?
That's 100. That's the truth.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard.
That's perfect sense.
All right. So, I appreciate you stopping by. And as we transition, Tom's going to give us a light introduction. And I promise you, we're going to pick up where we left off next Monday night on the appeals process.
Yeah. So, a lot of people are being told how to do their appeals, and there's a lot of pitfalls that people are making, and it's extremely important that you need to go ahead and know the different appeal types. Some people are being forced into oral hearings. This is a bad idea. Some people are sending stuff off to ECAB. Not a good idea. Other people are doing a written review. Also not a good idea. The only good idea is a reconsideration. We're going to get into that. Right, Kenny?
Yes, we are.
Okay. Sorry. That's our next call, right?
That's it. All right. So we still got about 10 minutes left. So what I want to do then, and I promise you, I'm going to set that up, Tom. I'm going to give you the intro, and I'm going to allow you to just educate the podcast audience on this appeals process. But there's another form that I want to spend a few minutes on, and that way we'll dedicate a whole show to the appeals, and that's the CA-17. Now, within the past month, I've had quite a few dealings with postal management just being oblivious to what a CA-17 is, and in the manner in which they interpret it. Only postal management could do this. And trust me, this is not a good thing. I've seen CA-17s where they're written, you know, in mass form. One job gets one CA-17. They're probably never updated. But I've seen CA-17s that allow employees to do a full-time job and management go against the CA-17 to create a new CA-17 so that employee is not allowed to do a full-time job. It's just crazy, but it's important that we understand on that CA-17 that on the right side, first of all, if the post office has not completed their portion of the CA-17 before you go to the doctor, then that's an invalid document just to start with.
Yep.
So the post
exactly
office,
right.
Yeah, they've got to complete this side of that document, and then your doctor looks at it, and most times mirrors what it is the post office says you can do if the doctor feels you can do it. Because what the post office describes is your motion or repetitive, intermittent, continuous, that you'll be doing for an 8-hour tour. Now, I got to say this to you, and I'm going to say it slow because it doesn't even sound right. I was in a meeting earlier this week with one of the heads of HR, and I heard in that meeting from the head of HR, one of the heads of HR, that a CA-17 was a 24-hour form. They take it to
What the heck? I've never heard that. This is the first time I've heard something crazy like that.
I interrupted the meeting with pretty much what you said, Tom, verbatim. But what it did for me is it opened my head up to think, wow, maybe this is a reason why postal management don't understand the CA-17. If you've got one of the directors, one of your go-to people on injury compensation, and that's how they view a CA-17, I don't even know how they could make a decision. But no one told me this. I was sitting there and I heard it, and I, as eloquently as I possibly could, interrupted that meeting, and we were not going to move forward until it was understood that that's wrong. That's just wrong.
Yeah.
But that's the mindset. And when the mindset from any level higher than your local post office, if that's the person in charge, if that's the person given the authority or autonomy to make that decision, that's how most people in the organization think.
Kenny, let me jump in on you in a second. I want to tell you something because we're running out of time, and I want your folks to have a backup if they end up going to a doctor with a blank CA-17, okay? What Kenny said was that if the left side of that document is not filled out, it's invalid, okay? So if the doctor fills out the CA-17 and then returns it, right, the agency can say, no, fill out another one, and they have to. Okay. To avoid this whole scenario, if you're given a blank CA-17 due to status report to go to your doctor, okay, instead of having them fill out the CA-17, just have them print out this form right here, OWCP-5C. OWCP-5C. Okay. This is all the same exact information that's on the CA-17, except no supervisor is needed on this form. The doctor can fill that out, and as soon as they sign, it's a valid form, okay? So if you don't know where to access that form, if you go to federalinjurycenters.com, go to forms, you can see the OWCP-5C on that page there, okay? Your doctor can download it for you.
Hey,
but
Tom,
if
I submit to 5C, can they still request the CA-17?
They can afterwards at the expiration of that. They may in fact say, you know, yeah, please bring me CA-17. And say, great, if you give me a filled out CA-17 on the left hand side, then I can go to my doctor and he can use the CA-17. Until then, it's OWCP-5C.
Okay. And that CA-17 form, again, you know, I don't know, Columbus just I can't even begin to imagine where their thought process begins. But it seems like they want to manipulate the 17 to fit what it is they need at that particular time. But you would think that if I have a CA-17, that automatically implies I got hurt at work. Because if you didn't get hurt at work, a CA-17 is of no value to you. There's another form.
Exactly.
If I've got a CA-17, one would think that postal management would be in a position to try to help me get back to, you know, where I was before I got injured. But again, they seem to do everything but that. But hey, nonetheless, you have to spread the word that there's a podcast out on Tuesday night called Sick Call. You have to spread the word that on Wednesday night, you got Jeannie and Chris Helm doing OWCP chats. You know, on the podcast, we've got one of the subject matter experts, Daily, Tom Giampa, from Federal Injury Centers. And I'm just saying that because if you hear this information, you got to kind of be a little diligent in spreading the information. Because with postal management attempting to always get more with less, the rate of injuries are just steady going to climb. So we want you to work safe. I always want you to work smart. But in the event that something happens, that thing they call an accident, then I want you to be armed with information, resources, points of contact that you can get the proper medical attention and rehabilitation that the post office is obligated to give to you.
Exactly.
Hey, Tom, before we get out of here tonight, what's new up in Federal Injury Centers, man?
Yeah, so we got Chris and Jeannie doing the OWCP Wednesday night chats tomorrow night. If you look them up on Facebook, you can get information there. You know, Kenny and I are doing this show on Tuesday nights. And I want to just tell you something real quick. You know, when Kenny said share stuff like this, it's more important now than ever because everyone has access to information. They just don't know where to get it. And that's what we're doing tonight, and that's what they're doing tomorrow night. So there's plenty and plenty of access to information right now. People just don't know how to get it. But you for sure know one other person that's hurt. Just send them the link. It doesn't harm you in any way. And if they want to listen and get the info, they absolutely can. If not, no harm, no foul. But get the info out to people because people's rights are being kind of taken away from them, trampled on. Well, that's not right, and you don't deserve that. So do what Kenny said there and send this to somebody that you know that is hurt, is, you know, even hasn't accepted the case, just so they can get the info, and they can at least help somebody else with that. So
yeah, because
there's plenty of access to info more now than ever.
Yeah, we're out here frontline trying to make sure that, again, first and foremost, I always want you to work safe. Always wants you to be aware of your surroundings. And again, take the time to do the job right. Take the time to do the job, to do the job safe. You know, never, if they want to reduce manpower, that does not automatically mean you have to produce more. That's not how this is orchestrated. But in the event you get injured, again, I want you to be able to inform someone else that there's a process. And if you are diligent with this process, you'll be compensated while you're out. You'll get proper rehabilitation, and you'll go on to enjoy as close as possible the type of life that you had before you had the injury. So on that note, I'm going to say good night, and I thank you for listening. And remember, share the word. If you like the information that you heard on the podcast tonight and other nights, share it. Don't be bashful. Kenny Hodges can never have enough people following on the page, and this information can never be disseminated to enough people. So with that, I'm going to say good night, podcast audience. Good night, Tom.
Good night. Thanks, Kenny.
All right. No problem.